RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of A Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. And this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Vice President appreciates performance on the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB. City to freeze tax on low-cost property until 2018. Padang to host Indonesia Indian Ocean Government Forum. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has expressed appreciation for the performance of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, under the leadership of Samsul Ma'arif, with the induction of Willem Rapangile as the new chief of BNPB, who will replace Samsul Ma'arif. The vice president hoped that the performance of BNPB will improve. Yusuf Kalla stressed that the replacement of the BNPB chief had nothing to do with disaster management issues of thick smoke stemming from forest fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan. Earlier on Monday, President Joko Widodo had appointed Willem Rapangile as chief of BNPB. Rapangile was previously one of the deputies of the Coordinating Minister of Empowerment of Women and Culture. He has also been in charge of environmental affairs and social security coordination. Meanwhile, Rapangile said Indonesia can be freed of the smoke disaster through preventive measures as well as community involvement. In response to complaints over high land and building taxes from residents, Governor Basuki Ahok Cahyapurnama has said that the Jakarta City Administration will not increase the building taxes on low-cost property, including houses and apartments, until 2018. A recent significant increase in the PBB taxes rates is due to the City Administration 2014 decision to raise the taxable value of property by 120 to 240%. Some residents said this would force them to sell their properties because they could not afford to pay the increased taxes. The taxable value of property increase was introduced after authority over the PBB was transferred to the city administration by the central government in November 2012, allowing the city to collect land and building taxes for its sole use, instead of sharing them with the central government as it had done in the past. Governor Ahok also called on residents to revise any inaccurate documenting of their properties, assuring that they would not face penalties. The administration of Padang City, West Sumatra Province, will host the Indonesia Indian Ocean Local Government Forum, Indonesia IOLGF, on September 8 and 9, Mayor Mahyedi Ansarullah said on Monday. The event is an initiative of Padang administration and is aimed at establishing the forum as a warm-up before the Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA Summit to be held from October 20th to 23rd. In addition, this meeting will be attended by speakers from Perth, Australia, and Dubai, United Arab Emirates, who will discuss preparations for the information of the Perth Padang Dubai Pass. The Indian Ocean Rim is a region comprised of states whose shores are washed by waters of the Indian Ocean. The region is home to about 2 billion people with much cultural diversity and richness in languages, religions, traditions, arts, and cuisines. Today, IORA is a dynamic organization of 20 member states and 6 dialogue partners, with an ever-growing momentum for mutually beneficial regional cooperation. Thick smogs is still blanketing part of Rio, disrupting flight schedules from and to this provincial city of Pekanbaru. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Office said visibility in the smoke-blanketed areas in the province range from 100 meters to 400 meters. Head of the regional office of BMKG, or Climatology, Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Office in Pekanbaru, Sugarin, told Antara News Agency in Riau on Tuesday that the worst is in Dumai and Palawan, where visibility is around 100 meters. He also said that smokes came from neighboring province of Jambi, adding there was no hot spot detected in Riau. In Jambi and South Sumatra, there are tons of hot spots sending thick smokes to the air and were blown by the winds to Riau. Riau has been widely reported to be the sources of thick smokes polluting the air as far as the neighboring countries. Meanwhile, General Manager of the airport of the Sultan Sharif Kasim II Pekanbaru, Dani Irawan, a number of flights have been delayed on Tuesday. The condition, however, improved toward mid of the day, allowing airlines to resume flight including to Jakarta. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Meanwhile, thick haze caused by forest and land fires has also disrupted flights at Juanda International Airport in Surabaya, East Java, and at Sultan Taha Airport in Jambi, Jambi Province. On Monday, at least 3 CityLink and Lion Air flights departing Surabaya for Palangkaraya in central Kalimantan were delayed for more than 7 hours. A spokesperson for state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura 1, Liza Anindya, told Tempo.co on Monday evening that forest fires in Palangkaraya had disrupted activity at Juanda Airport since Saturday, including flights to Banjarmasin in South Kalimantan, Balikpapan in East Kalimantan, and Lombok in West Nusa Tenggara. According to a report by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, activity at Jambi Sultan Taha Airport was also disrupted. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, on Tuesday, escorted by Antara News Agency, said that the agency plans to use a helipad owned by PT Wirakarya Sakti, which has better visibility than the Sultan Taha Airport. Bekasi administration in West Java will use aerial photos for a more planned spatial planning. Head of Planning Division for Bekasi City Planning, Erwin Gwinda, said on Monday that many things can be done with aerial photos so that activities implemented in 2013 will have numerous benefits. The aerial photos have been put to use is the basic map of land ownership which have already been used by the National Land Agency. Other than that, aerial photos can also be used as a basic map planning information for roads, bridges, and canals as it contains detailed building elevation model data and overall land contours. The aerial photos financed by the local budget of Bekasi in 2013, amounting 4.1 billion rupiah, is implemented through a coordination with Geospatial Information Agency that has the authority to arrange mapping in Indonesia. Property tax information can also be known because aerial photos contain information on building areas in the city of Bekasi. The last item, as many as 150 street lights will be installed in 6 municipalities that spread in North Jakarta. It was proposed to prevent drugs trafficking and immoral action. Agustin Pujiastuti, head of North Jakarta Parks and Cemetery Sub-Department, Monday, September 9, said that they will install at least one spotlight in each park. The installation plan, as Tuti disclosed, is the aspiration of the people who feel restless due to many parks misused as drugs trafficking and immoral action. Her sub-department also plans to engage headmen, as well as industry and energy sub-department. It is still being processed through the Goods and Service Procurement Board. Hopefully, it could be realized in the near future. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Vice President Yusuf Kalla appreciates performance on the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB. Jakarta City to freeze tax on low-cost property until 2018. Padang, West Sumatra to host Indonesia Indian Ocean Government Forum. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on why does IMF come again to Indonesia? The May 1998 riots is a black page in Indonesian history that occurred at the time of the collapse of the New Order regime and the corrupt Suharto's presidency, who had been in power for 32 years. The role of the IMF in the fall of Suharto was quite apparent then. Moreover, in his resignation speech, Michel Kamdesu, an IMF top official, on November the 9th, 1999, admitted that what he did in Indonesia then was indeed in order to create conditions so that President Suharto fell, as if IMF was the one that toppled down Suharto. Indonesian people actually had lots of reasons to topple down the Suharto administration then, but the mere riots are not something expected by anybody. The tragedy has indeed passed, but it left a very deep scar, not only because of the material losses caused, but also the number of lives lost. But the dark episode in history seemed to have receded and disappeared from the memory of Indonesia, which is known as a forgiving nation. This is evidence when the managing director of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, came to the Indonesian House of Representatives in an official visit. Lagarde was a guest at a meeting with the representatives of Bank Indonesia or the Central Bank as a follow-up of an official meeting between the IMF as an international institution with Bank Indonesia. In an article written by Nobel laureate economist Joseph Stiglitz, a four-step pattern of IMF policy were described. First, privatization, namely the sale of small and medium enterprises assets to IMF cronies. Second, capital market liberalization, the opening of capital markets in order to increase investments, among others by the high interest rate pack. Third, market-based pricing, which is raising the prices of strategic commodities such as fuel, food, water, etc., or the removal of subsidies. Because people's economy increasingly squeezed the more difficult life, then the third step is usually followed by the next step, which is very dangerous, an unrest in the style of IMF or IMF riots. In Indonesia, it was the May 1998 riots. And the last or the fourth, free trade, which is practiced in the opening of market for developed countries' products. So what's the advantage gained by Indonesia with the presence of the IMF this time? Is it strange if the public becomes suspicious with the arrival of an IMF official when the domestic economy is getting worse and the rupiah is weakened against the dollar? Though the situation in Indonesia is very different now, will what happened in 1998 be repeated? There is a suspicion that the IMF has a hidden agenda for the benefit of the major powers, although not yet very clear. Deputy House Speaker Taufik Kurniawan confirmed that Lagarde was received as part of the usual working visit. If it leads to debt deals, the parliament will declare a firm stand and reject it. But keep in mind that in the House of Representatives, every decision needs support and votes of various factions or members. Is it possible the parliament would decide to reject the wishes of IMF with a unanimous vote? Hopefully, when the IMF's offer emerged to the surface, the representatives who sit in the House could decide with a clear conscience to the best of the Indonesian people. That was commentary on why does IMF come again to Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1954, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, or SEATO, is established. The Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, or SEATO, was an international organization for collective defense in Southeast Asia, created by the Southeast Asia Collective Defense Treaty, or Manila Pact, signed in September 1954 in Manila, the Philippines. The formal institution of SEATO was established on February 19, 1955, at a meeting of treaty partners in Bangkok, Thailand. The organization's headquarters were also in Bangkok. Its members joined the organization. Primarily created to block further communist gains in Southeast Asia, SEATO is generally considered a failure because internal conflict and dispute hindered general use of the SEATO military. However, SEATO funded cultural and educational programs left long-standing effects in Southeast Asia. SEATO was dissolved on June 30, 1977, after many members lost interest and withdrew. Move now to September 8, 1991. Macedonia gains independence from Yugoslavia. The Republic of Macedonia is a country located in the Central Balkan Peninsula in Southeast Europe. It is one of the successor states of the former Yugoslavia, from which it declared independence in 1991. It became a member of the United Nations in 1993, but as a result of an ongoing dispute with Greece over use of the name Macedonia or Macedonia, it was admitted under the provisional description of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, or abbreviated as FYROM or FYROM. Macedonia is a member of the United Nations and of the Council of Europe since December 2005. It has also been a candidate for joining the European Union and has applied for NATO membership. The International Literacy Day, which is on September 8th and decided by UNESCO on November 17, 1965. It was first celebrated in 1966, so it can be said that September 8, 1966, as the first International Literacy Day. Its aim is to highlight the importance of literacy to individuals, communities, and societies. On International Literacy Day each year, UNESCO reminds the international community of the status of literacy and adult learning globally. Celebrations take place around the world. That was the end of Today in History, over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus, and today's focus is on government strives to overcome haze. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id.
Focus, daily news and events.
Thick haze from forests and land fires lately has again covered some areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan. The haze is considered to have entered emergency category for disrupting public life. The smog is now not only interfering with the flight schedules and other public activities, but also the economy, which has begun to be affected by the haze. Commenting on the in response to that condition, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the government will continue to strive to overcome the forest fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan. Vice President Kala said the government has hired helicopters and planes to extinguish fires from the air, as well as exerting force on the ground to fight the smoke from the hotspots. He considered thick haze from forest fires and land fires blanketing some areas in Sumatra and Kalimantan can be categorized as an emergency condition because they interfere with people's life. The condition is urgent to be overcome by multi-sectors. Until Friday, September the 4th, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry noted there have been 156 hotspots detected as the source of smoke in Sumatra and Kalimantan. Of the number, 95 points are in Sumatra and 61 in Kalimantan. The Vice President also hoped Indonesia's neighbors would help overcome the haze in Sumatra and Kalimantan. Yusuf Kala added, haze is a disaster that comes as a result of a heat waves of El Nino. Therefore, it required tremendous efforts of various parties to address it. In this regard, President Joko Widodo asked sensitivity of governors, regions, and mayors whose regions are affected by the haze to remain in the community and address the smoke disasters in their respective areas. Local government, together with military, police, and community, are to exert all their ability to extinguish the fire as soon as possible and ensure the safety and health of residents. President Joko Widodo also invites the public to participate in fighting the fire, which is the source of smoke disaster. After the haze subsides, the president asks the central government, local, military, police, and community collaboration as soon as possible to make a breakthrough for a permanent solution to cope with the disaster of smoke. The president reminded the source of the fire that caused smoke, which is covering the sky, had disrupted the activities of people, so it should be extinguished forever. According to President Joko Widodo, the government has been trying to reduce the number of hotspots. As of January to September 2015, the number of fires compared to the same condition in 2014 has dropped 52% to 58%. However, the president reminded it needs full vigilance given the long drought disaster expected. The smoke disaster is expected to reach its peak in September to October. Meanwhile, the military commander, General Gatot Nurmantio, confirmed he has been preparing personnel and aids in the form of aircraft to combat smoke in Kalimantan and Sumatra. He explained that military personnel have already been deployed in each area affected by smoke. Later, the military will also deploy helicopters CN-295, Hercules, and Cessna. The military has also set up integrated posts and carried out activities that support local government to extinguish the hot spots. Well, that was Focus Today of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, which theme is The Government Strives to Overcome Haze.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, September the 8th in Jakarta. We start from Kompas Daily in its headline, writes about the government cut the bureaucracy of village fund. The central government will issue a joint decree to cut bureaucracy of village disbursement fund. This step is taken to encourage the distribution and absorption of funds amounting to 20.7 trillion rupiah in 2015 to 74,093 villages. Minister of Rural Development and Transmigration Marwan Jafar said Monday in Jakarta, three ministerial decree aims to cut bureaucratic use of village funds. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia writes about the acceleration of the village fund. President Joko Widodo instructed that distribution of village funds should be accelerated to be used to generate the village development. To prevent the challenge of bureaucracy, several regulations will be cut. The instruction conveyed by President Joko Widodo to Minister of Village, Rural Development and Transmigration Marwan Jafar in Jakarta on Monday. Now we present about the headline of Republika. It writes about the victims of smoke continue to increase. Smoke from forest and land fires that has not been well handled continue to cause casualties. Patients with acute respiratory infections, ISPA, continue to rise in the affected areas. The Ministry of Health reporting as many as 12,000 people have contracted the ISPA in Riau since smoke occurred 2 months later. We end today's headline by taking Business Indonesia. The Daily writes about 35,000 megawatt electrical power cut to become 16,000 megawatt. The development target of electricity of 35,000 megawatt that began this year until 2019 will be cut to become 16,000 megawatt with a reason of overcapacity and target. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Rizal Ramli, the 35,000 megawatt mega project will create overcapacity and loss of PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara PLN. That was the headline of national newspapers published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesia will strengthen its weaponry system on Natuna Island in order to anticipate future threats from the South China Sea dispute. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that Indonesia will accept $14.6 billion in loans proposed by the Asian Development Bank (ADB) and the World Bank. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that microcredit loan program has been included as a priority program in 2016 because it can boost economic growth. A 6-member disaster victim identification DVI team of the Indonesian police is set to leave for Malaysia on Monday evening to help identify the bodies of the victims of a recent boat mishap. The North Sumatra Provincial Administration is planning to ask the government to include Nias Island as a national strategic area in an attempt to develop the region as a world-class tourist destination. In conjunction with the country's Independence Day, Indonesia's pavilion at Expo Milano 2015, which runs from May 1st until October 31st, held Indonesian National Day on Sunday, aimed at promoting its trade, investment, and tourist destination. State-owned lender bank Indonesia, State-owned lender Bank Negara Indonesia, BNI, is restructuring some of its riskier loans in an effort to improve its non-performing loan ratio amid the ongoing economic pressure, an executive has said. Listener, that was news in brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, you're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting live from frequency of 9525 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion and criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment Indonesia Wonder and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the Talas Island in the province of Riau Islands. So stay tuned.
Listener, Tarimpa is an area in Anambas Island, Riau Islands Province. This area is known as the most expensive city because the cost of living there is quite expensive. Relatively expensive, it does not mean the facilities and luxurious accommodation are there, but the area is still isolated. Economic life of people in Tarimpa is majority driven by ships that come only twice a month. The ships carry a stack of groceries and necessities of daily life of Tarimpa people. Besides isolated, we can see the beach with vast stretches of the sea become the beautiful natural scenery of the city. Surrounded by beaches, making Tarimpa City is awarded the beauty of underwater sea views. You can snorkeling and diving here. If you still not satisfied, please also visit the Talas Island. The island is located 5 kilometers from Tarimpa. Talas Island presenting the underwater scenery that can be enjoyed with naked eye. You can see the bottom of the sea to a variety of marine plants with a variety of shapes, sizes, and colors. There are starfish, beautiful shells, and colorful fishes. Traveling to the Talas Island, there are many interesting activities that can be done on the island. The most fun is snorkeling. Unfortunately, there is no rental service here, so you have to bring your own snorkel equipment. Do not forget to bring a resistant camera that can be used in the water. In addition to snorkeling, you can also fishing, or you can sit relaxed on a soft bed of sand while enjoying the beauty of surrounding islands like the Temawan Island, Kian Panjang Island, Loyong Island, and Selat Ansang Island. Listener, to get the Talas Island, you need to pass Tarimpa first. To get to Tarimpa, you have to leave from Tanjung Pinang, capital Riau Islands province, by boat. When arriving in Tanjung Pinang, you have to stay until the ship to Tarimpa departing at 7 a.m. and only operates once 2 days. The cost is 450,000 rupiah for a journey of 10 hours. If you do not want to linger in the sea, you also can use the flight service from Tanjung Pinang. It costs around 1.2 million rupiah. In Tarimpa, you can take a hotel or lodging because there is no accommodation in the Talas Island. For access to the Talas Island, you can rent a boat at a cost of 1 million rupiah a day. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Talas Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mengecat rumah, or in English, painting the house. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Mengecat. Mengecat in English, to paint. Rumah. Rumah in English, house. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor, after office. Toko bangunan. Toko bangunan, building material store. Membeli. Membeli, to buy. Cat, cat, paint. Sabtu, Sabtu, Saturday. Minggu, Minggu, Sunday. Warna putih, white color. Dinding, dinding, wall. Warna krem, krem color. Kamar tidur, bedroom. Merah, merah, red. Ruang makan, dining room. Kuning, kuning, yellow. Kamar mandi, bathroom. Abu-abu, abu-abu, gray. Garasi, garasi, garage. Dibantu, dibantu, help. Satu orang tukang, a painter or handyman. Akhir pekan, weekend. Next is a conversation on mengecat rumah, or in English, painting the house. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Hans and Tommy. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke toko bahan bangunan. Pulang kantor, saya mau ke toko bahan bangunan. In English, after work, I'm going to the building material store. Saya mau membeli cat. Saya mau membeli cat. I'm going to buy some paint. Hari Sabtu dan Minggu, saya mau mengecat rumah. Hari Sabtu dan Minggu, saya mau mengecat rumah. On Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to paint the house. Cat warna apa yang akan kamu beli? Cat warna apa yang akan kamu beli? In English, what color of paint are you going to buy? Saya suka warna putih untuk dinding rumah saya. Saya suka warna putih untuk dinding rumah saya. I like white for the walls in my house. Saya mau membeli cat warna krem untuk setiap kamar tidur. Saya mau membeli cat warna krem untuk setiap kamar tidur. I'm going to buy cream paint for every bedroom. Warna agak merah untuk ruang makan. Warna agak merah untuk ruang makan. Reddish color for the dining room. Warna kuning untuk kamar mandi. Warna kuning untuk kamar mandi. Yellow for the bathroom. Dan abu-abu untuk garasi. Dan abu-abu untuk garasi. entry for the garage. Supaya cepat selesai, mungkin dibantu seorang tukang. Supaya cepat selesai, mungkin dibantu seorang tukang. To make it finish faster, maybe I'll be helped by a painter or a handyman. Baiklah, selamat berakhir pekan. Baiklah, selamat berakhir pekan. Very well then, have a nice weekend. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today, we present you to a pop singer, namely Aura Kasih. Well listener, let's listen to a song entitled Jangan Bilang Siapa-Siapa by Aura Kasih. Happy listening.
Siapa-siapa kita sedang bercinta. Ini semua rahasia antara kita berdua. Karena kamu dan aku sudah ada yang punya. Aku
Kita jalani saja semua.
Listener Sunny Aura Sharani was born in Bandung on February 23, 1988, better known with the name Aura Kasih, is an Indonesian singer. Aura's career began as a finalist of Miss Indonesia 2007 represents Lampung province. The first album, namely Malaikat Penggoda, which was released in 2008 with the main song entitled Mari Bercinta. This song is known with a single dance hall. In December 2008, Aura tried her talent in acting by playing in the film Asmara Dua Diana and also sang the film soundtrack entitled Puncak Asmara. Well, listeners, let's enjoy it to the next song entitled Mari Bercinta. Happy listening. In 2015, this year, Aura Kasih involved with shooting for TV serial. However, Aura is now back to singing. Although rarely present on the television program, Aura remains going around a number of areas to meet the demands of the show. But not all the direct requests are available. Aura is now more cautious to accept the offer, especially when her schedule is pretty busy. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Pemilik Hati and Bukan Dia. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Di hatiku di sini.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.